We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
But on this day, everybody is going to be worshiping this King. So Jesus is a conquering King. Look at somebody say, conquering King. But we need to remind you that history has seen many kings set on conquering. Is this true? Or can you think of any? I want to tell you that as early as Genesis 10, we see a single man named Nimrod who dominates the world. He names himself king and a god. He names himself Baal. You ever hear of that? Is that a false god in the Old Testament? It starts in a king named Nimrod. He refers to himself as God. And he builds a what? A tower to worship himself. And that tower is called
Babel.
Babel. Baal. Baal. Babel. He's worshiping himself as God. That's as early as Genesis chapter 10. But that's the only time that happens, right? No. By the end of Genesis, we see these people named pharaohs in Egypt, and they conquer the world, and they enslave and brutalize many people. We see later a man named Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. He destroyed many nations, including Israel, just wrecked Israel, wrecked Jerusalem, tore down the temple of God, and he enslaved and brutalized the people of God and many people in the world. He worshiped himself. He had himself worshiped not only as king, but as God. Wow, that's the only time, though, that that happens, right? No. Persia's King Artaxerxes was the same. Greece's Alexander the Great also conquered the world, also was held as a god. Rome's Julius Caesar, the word Caesar actually means Lord, that he believed he was a god to be worshipped. The list goes on and on. Maybe you've heard some of these names. Vlad the Impaler, Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, Pol Pot, Idi Amin, Mao, Stalin, Hitler. And the list goes on and on. These are the really big names that stand out. I want you to know that the list still continues today. There are men who would be conquering kings, even today. There are in every sphere of life, if not a worldwide conquering, they might conquer a business. And you've seen businesses just go worldwide. There's this little company called Amazon. Man, that dude is out to conquer the world. And so far he has financially. Bezos is the richest man in the world. He is welcome to come to church here anytime he wants. Come on, Bezos, we'll preach to you. This pattern we find in the world of men trying to conquer. You even see some men dominate their wife and abuse them, dominate their children and abuse them. You see people driving down the freeway, and it's not enough to just drive to the Walmart. No, they've got to dominate I-75. How dare they pull out in front of me? And they are dominating. It's rage. It's craziness. This is everywhere, that there are men set on conquest. Now, y'all preach with me a little bit, because y'all hate it when you're driving on the road and you're just trying to pass this guy, and as you're trying to pass him, suddenly they do what? They speed up. They're like, oh, you're not going to pass me. I'm like, well, welcome to the road. Thank you for waking up. Why don't you drive? And then I'm like, oh, and then if you're not careful, you'll get into that road and say, well, I'm going to speed past you. The world is full of people set on conquest. Do you know where this pattern comes from? Where do you think this pattern, it happens over and over and over again. It is somewhere in the heart of every one of us. Where does this come from? It comes from the devil, y'all. The pattern comes directly from the devil himself. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. This is the opening of the first seal. I'm going to read it to you. Listen carefully. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, as in a bow and arrow. And he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. So we're showing this picture and we're trying to figure out what it is. There's this rider on a white horse. Well, Jesus rides a white horse, but this guy's got weaponry. And he's going to use physical, violent weapons to conquer the world. And he is bent on one thing. What is it? Conquest. Conquest. All the previous men we listed follow after the pattern of this man who is yet to be revealed. This rider is the Antichrist. This is the opening of the first seal, and it reveals to the world the Antichrist. I want you to know that although we don't know who the Antichrist is, we don't know what his face is, what his name is, we don't know. We know the spirit behind it. And Paul told us this, that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. A lot of people, you want to get people's really piqued in their curiosity. You go, hey, you want to know who the Antichrist is? And they're like, oh my goodness, it's Justin Trudeau, isn't it? It's Trump, isn't it? It's that guy. You know the guy, I never can remember his name. That guy. Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's him. Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal. That's it. People get really interested on that. But when you tell them this, listen, you are looking for the Antichrist. You got it all wrong. You need to be looking for Christ. Not looking for the Antichrist. Looking for Christ. Because the Antichrist is nothing new. He's been hanging around forever. He's been lifting his head up in people like Nimrod. People like Julius Caesar. People like Hitler. That was the spirit of the Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist is already here, y'all. That was said almost 2,000 years ago by Paul. It's still true. Look at somebody say, it's still true. My God, it's still true. We got to believe it. We got to live this way. We can't just go around just going through motions. There is an Antichrist spirit already here, and it's rising up. It could rise up in our day. Christ could return in our day. Don't just go through the motions today. All the previous men we listed, Nimrod, Pharaoh, Caesar, Hitler, they all follow after the pattern and type of the devil's Antichrist. Say amen if you believe it. It's not by mistake. This is the pattern of the world. I got news for you. The world can't produce anything else. You have this machine. All it does is create jerks. It's jerks after another. Just evil men after another.
That's right.
Conquerors after one. They can't create anything else.
No.
That's what we're dealing with, the pattern of this world. It wasn't the world that gave us a Mother Teresa. It wasn't the world that gave us an Apostle Paul. It wasn't the world that gave us a Jesus Christ. Do you understand that there's this pattern of the world and then there's this pattern of heaven, and you better get it straight what pattern you're following after. My God, I think it's good preaching. I want to tell you about a conquering king. The pattern of this world is to be a conquering king through the weapons of this world. That's why that rider, he had in his hand a bow. But Scripture warns us not to be conformed to the pattern of this world. Romans 12 and 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? Be transformed. There's some scriptures you ought to be at least able to get one word on. Don't conform to the pattern, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to be transformed into a new pattern. You see, this jerk machine that the world has, it just, everything just, the materials go in it, they come out in a form. But what Jesus does is He takes this form that we are in and He transforms us. He lifts us up above the material. He lifts us up above the form. And he transforms us. The pattern of this transformation is no other than Jesus Christ himself. He is the pattern. He is the pattern that you need to be forming into. You need to be more like Jesus. Church, we need to be transformed into Jesus. Everything we do should be like Jesus. In fact, that's what the word Christian means. It means little Christ. It means like we're little Jesuses walking around. We are like him in every way. The things we say are like him. The things we do are like him. The patience and the love that we have, it's like him. It's not like the world bent on conquest with a bow in its hand or weapons. And our wars are not like the pattern of this world. Anybody know the verse I'm going to? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Old King James Version, I grew up with that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapon, see, there's this weapons of the world, but Christian that is trying to follow after the transformation of Jesus Christ, you will not fight the same wars and you will not have the same weapons. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There's a saying, I guess it became really popular in the 60s in the peace movement. It said, make love, not war. Anybody ever seen that, heard that before? Make love, not war. There's an idea that Christians should be pacifists. And I understand it. Jesus was very peaceful. We need to be, peace is awesome. We need to be walking. I mean, our feet, when it talks about our armor, our feet are peace. The gospel of peace, right? On our feet, right? We need to be walking in peace. I get that. But there are some people that believe we should be opposed to all war. Even like defending someone else. And that's a topic for another time. I want to tell you, like it or not, we are in a war zone. Like it or not, 2 Corinthians says that we do wage war. We do wage war, but not as the world does. Christians, followers of Jesus, we are actually called to wage war. But we are called to be warriors after the pattern of Jesus Christ. We are called to a new pattern of warfare. And that pattern is the conquering king, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the pattern of that conquering king whom the world really is looking for. Hitler duped so many people to following them. They were really looking for Jesus. Julius Caesar had thousands, millions of people following him, thinking, oh, this is the guy that's going to bring it. No, it was Jesus they were really looking for. Jesus is that pattern. Jesus conquers our worlds, and he does it through love. Somebody said love.
Love.
Talking to you about a love that conquers today. Scripture tells us that love is not something God does, but love is something God is, right? 1 John chapter 4, 8. God is love. It's what he is. It's who he is. It's like if you were able to get God's DNA and put it up to some heavenly microscope and look down into God's DNA, it would just say love everywhere, because every cell of God is love. It's who he is. Do you understand this? God is love. This conquering king named Jesus wages war, but he does it with love. You see, if love is something God does, that doesn't really do it.
That's right.
Because he could do love and then do hate, just like us, right? But no, if it's who he is, it's who he is all the time. You can't stop being who you are. And that's who God is. There's never been a moment where he has not been love. It's who he is. He wages war with love. And he does it on a cross. You see, the cross was not just a thing that happened. Oh, look what happened. That thing happened around, 2,000 years ago. Look at that thing. No, it's not a thing that happened. The cross was tactical. The cross was a military maneuver. The cross was Jesus Christ waging war in love. Do you believe me? If you don't believe me, I got scripture, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. And having disarmed, does that sound military? Does it sound warlike? And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing. Oh, does that sound military yet? Does that sound like a win? Triumphing over them by the cross. Clap your hands for a God who's triumphed over the enemy. By the cross, hallelujah. Jesus, the conquering king, disarmed the powers and authorities of this world. The same powers that lie, that steal, that kill, destroy. The same spirit, the same evil that we're struggling with in our life. We're either being attacked by it or it's using us to attack other people. That same spirit, Jesus disarmed it all. He disarmed it. He takes the bow right out of the Antichrist's hands. And then it says he makes a spectacle of them. That means that he made a fool of them. He marched them out like a court jester. They were a big, fat joke after he got done with it. He made fools of these powers when he triumphed over them by the cross. By the cross. I want to tell you, I was just talking to the Lord this week. I was talking to the Lord about him returning. And I was like, man, I could see the devil using our current landscape of the entire world right now. I could see him swiveling it to make his kingdom right now. But God, would he do it that quickly? And I felt the Lord just say this: he is not patient. See, that's love is patient. God is patient. The devil is not patient. He has been trying to do this forever. He's been trying to bring an end to the world forever. He's been trying to kill you forever. He didn't just start this week. You see, we're so silly. We're like, man, the devil's really been after me this week. No, he's been after you before you were born. He's been after you forever, and he's not patient. He's not waiting around. He's not patient. All those are the qualities of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is not patient. The cross triumphed, partly in part, because the devil wasn't patient. He's like, there's this guy who's holy, like God is holy, and I don't know what to do with him. I'm going to kill him as soon as possible. And that was that's the death knell in his coffin right there. He wasn't patient, you dumb devil. You're not even patient. You learn. The cross triumphed. And what is the cross if not God's love for us? The cross is God's love for us. When you talk about the cross, you don't feel judged. When you talk about the cross, you feel loved. His warfare is nothing else, like nothing else this world has ever seen. That's our God's. That's Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, 7. This verse is usually read in December, Christmas time. The previous verses, for unto us a child is born. We're going to the next verse right here. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It says that his kingdom will have no end. I want to tell you, no one else has ever accomplished such a thing. In Babylon, they thought they had that going. Thought I was going to hand this off to my kid. Nope. Didn't work that way. Nimrod, not so fast. Nimrod. Pharaoh, nope. Can't find a Pharaoh today. Nope. Julius Caesar, nope. Not going to happen. Hitler, nope. Not going to happen. God's kingdom's like no one else. The way he conquers is like no one else. When he conquers forever. The greatness of his government, and what's the next word? And peace. That's such an interesting word to be using when we're talking about a military advancement of a kingdom. The greatness of his government and peace has no end. Most governments and countries go larger, they grow larger, and they grow more wealthy by being peaceful. No. In fact, you know this in economics. When countries are getting a little poor, somebody just goes and starts a war. Right? Is this true? Come on, I'm right here. That's how you grow wealth. You go build big things that blow things up. Suddenly you got lots of money. And then you go blow up people and you take what's theirs. That's how the pattern of this world works. But it's not how the pattern of our Jesus Christ works. It says that the greatness of his government and peace has no end. The conquering kings of this world know if they can kill enough people, they can take what they want. But how does Jesus conquer? Jesus conquers through peace. His government grows through peace. It has no end, and it's flourishing. It's reaching new people, and it does it all, not with a gun, not with a bow, not with a sword, but through peace. Oh, my God. Shalom. Look at somebody say shalom. Say peace. Jesus conquers through peace. What a concept. You've never seen that before. Never seen that before. Doesn't exist in this world. Jesus says, watch me. Don't you want to be a part of this kingdom? Jesus conquers through peace, through love, through the self-sacrifice of the cross. He looks at people that are even going to kill him, and he says, my peace I give to you. In Revelation, Jesus shows up at the battle. What's the battle called? Battle of Armageddon. Armageddon's the place. Armageddon's the location. We actually know where it is. Jesus shows up with his angels and with his saints. I want to be there, don't you? I want to be one of his saints. I want to be one of those that he has called up and he returns back with. It is my goal in life. It is my goal in life to be counted among his saints. Oh my God, I can't. I wish I could just shake this church with how badly I feel that. I want it more than any other thing. Any other thing. If I fell in every other area of life, but I am counted among his saints. Oh my gosh, I've lived a heck of a life. Yes. Oh, count me among that number. Jesus shows up, angels and saints, to fight the devil and his evil army. These people hate what is good. They hate it so much that they now call evil good and they call good evil. But I can't find anywhere where his angels fight. I can't find anywhere where his saints fight. I really want to be there. Yeah. You know who fights? You know who fights? Yeah. Who do you think fights at this battle? Jesus takes on the whole army. Jesus takes on all the devil has. Yeah. Jesus takes it all on. He stares it all down. I love me some Avengers. Yeah. And I really love me some Endgame where we're at the end and we got this crazy bad guy named Thanos and we got one Avenger standing there with a broken shield named Captain America and he's like, just bring it on. I'm going to fight you. And there's no chance he's going to make it. I want to tell you, Jesus has more guts than any other literary figure, anybody you can think of. He is going to come down from heaven in a white robe dipped in blood, and he's going to stare down the worst that evil has to offer. He's not going to be scared either. You know what's going to happen? Man, wouldn't it be good to know what happens? Unfortunately, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened.
Oh, yes, it does.
The Bible doesn't tell us what. Maybe I should read. Let's see. Jesus is the only one that fights in this battle. And do you know how he fights?
Yes.
Revelation 19:21 says, a sword proceeds from the mouth of Jesus and strikes down the nations of the world. It strikes down all of the army of the devil. Your Bible tells you clearly what that sword represents. What does it represent? Ephesians 6:17 tells you that that sword is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Do you love the Word of God? Do you know what's going to win in the end? Why is that thing growing dusty in your home? It's what is going to bring you all the victory over the enemy. And he's given it to you now. That same word that is in your book is the same word that's going to come out of his mouth. And we've seen this picture before, because the devil faced down Jesus one time, two times, three times, and each time Satan was defeated with three words. It is written. My God, anybody love the Word of God today? Woo! My gosh. Jesus wages war by simply opening his mouth and speaking truth. Do you see that vision? Do you see that picture? Jesus is the one the Apostle John says is full of grace and truth. And here he is speaking the truth, and the devil just can't even take it. The devil can't even stand against it. The devil can't even offer up a weak response. Like, well, you see, what happened is he can't even do that. He falls down onto the ground. The Antichrist and the false prophet get thrown into the lake of fire, and everybody is slain by the truth that comes out of his mouth. That's how our Jesus fights battles. Have you ever heard him speak the truth to you and it just, oh my gosh. There have been times the Lord has spoken to me, sometimes through a person preaching the gospel, sometimes through a worship, sometimes I'm just going about my day, and it's like, boop, you need to pray. Oh my gosh, I need to pray. He didn't even have to say you need to pray. I know I need to pray, because he just hit me with grace and truth. Even in war, I want to tell you that Jesus displays a love that conquers. Even on that day, it will be a love that conquers. So how do we follow this pattern? Good luck. He's Jesus, right? How do you expect us to follow this pattern? We know all too well how to follow the pattern of the world that conquers through hate, division, stealing, killing, lying, you name it. How do we receive the transformation that Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12? Well, number one, you need his Spirit, right? But I want to tell you this, we conquer through his love. And his Spirit is how you get his love, all right? Remember that God is love. The same love needs to live right inside of us if we are true going to conquer. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says this, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Wait, God's love has been poured out into our hearts. We're talking about that love, y'all. The love on the cross. That love that speaks grace and truth. That love has been poured out, and it is where?
In
our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When God gave you the Holy Spirit, he gives you the full love of God inside your hearts. It's inside your heart. Listen. I didn't need someone to give me this Bible study, because on the very night God filled me with the Holy Spirit. January, chapter 24. Yeah. Day 24 of January, 1988. I'll quote chapter and day to you. January 24th, 1988, God filled me with the Holy Spirit, and I hadn't been loving people. I was not a person that loved people. I didn't want to talk to people. I didn't want to help people. I'd been hurt too many times. I decided, who needs people? But that very night, on our way to Mazzio's Pizza, I couldn't stop crying because the Lord kept pulling on my heart. And I realized I knew them by name, the people in my class that needed to meet this Jesus. They needed this kind of love. And it was love on the inside making me completely different. The very people that I hated, I now wanted to share Jesus with them because I had His Spirit in me. And through the Spirit, He had poured His love into my heart. Do you have that kind of love in you? Well, do you have His Spirit? Do you have His Spirit in you? Then you ought to love people like crazy. Oh my goodness, the world needs a church that's full of the Spirit. And because they're full of the Spirit, they're full of the love of Jesus Christ, that He just pours it out into our hearts. Don't you realize that when Jesus pours His love into you, everything's different. It changes everything. Oh man. Through the Holy Spirit, is love is poured into us. Can I tell you, stop operating by your love. Stop operating by the world's pattern of love. Begin to operate by God's love. It's been given to you. It's in your heart. And what's in your heart ends up speaking. The Bible says, let it speak. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says this, know in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Through the love of this conquering King Jesus, we become more than conquerors. Do you believe it? The pattern of this world is to take, to steal, to belittle, to abuse. But God's pattern is to give. Can I tell you some things God gives you? Jesus gives you strength. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Jesus gives us power. Jesus says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus gives us victory through faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. He's given you strength. He's given you power. He's given you victory. The enemy wants to take your victory. He wants to take your power. He wants to take your strength. But Jesus is not after that pattern. He gives. You can receive it today. He wants to give it to you. Jesus is our conquering King, and He is making us to be conquering kings as well. You've heard the title King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Do you know what that really means? That means that He is the King of a bunch of kings. That He is the Lord of a bunch of lords. Charles, He's making you a king. He is a king of a king. Alex, He's making you a lord. He is a lord of a lord. Oh my gosh. I wish that anybody in Washington would care enough about us to do anything like that. But you know a guy in heaven that feels that way about you. He's going to make you a king. He's going to make you a lord. That's who He is. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, our conquering King. Earlier we told you about the pacifist, right? Who thought to make love, not war. Now I want to tell you differently. Make war and love. Say it. Make war and love. Say it one more time. Make war and love. Love. We should be warriors after the same pattern of Jesus Christ. We should conquer through love. I want to encourage you to do warfare. The Church of Jesus Christ has too many pew warmers. People just sitting down. We don't just need that. We need people that are ready for war. Y'all listen. Like, you've got these cruise ships, right? And those are really sweet places. The cruise, we got PA and Ackley love to go on cruises. And you got these, you just lounge around and people will bring you stuff and they'll feed you, and it's right. It's just so, it's a vacation. It's wonderful. That's not Jesus' church, y'all. His ship is a military ship. His ship, you're not supposed to just lay around and go, oh, Jesus, what are you going to prepare for us today? No, we've got a world to save. Get up off the lounge table on the chair and get to work, because there's a battle at work. There is a war to win. We need to do warfare. You listen to me. I know, like, oh, Pastor, you know, sometimes I want encouragement. We'll come back next week. I'll encourage you all over the place. I'll leave encouraging stuff on your Facebook this week. I promise. I'll do it. But listen, we need to get serious about being his saints, about being his kings and his lords. I want to encourage you to do warfare not as the world does it, but as Jesus does it. In other words, you should fight in love for your family, your children, and your marriage. Fight for it. Oh, don't you let a divorce steal your home. Don't do it. Fight for it. Fight for it. Stop being a pacifist and wage war. You have a family member that's not in church, doesn't know Jesus. Wage war on that in love. I'm not saying you slap them upside the head. That's the wrong guy. That's the Antichrist. That's how he would do it. No, but do it in love. Do it in sweetness. Do it in gentleness. And do it in patience. But don't just, there is a difference between doing that and not doing anything. And somehow we think that's the loving option. Well, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I kind of want to hurt someone's feelings, Vicky. If it saves them from hell. Wage war against drug addiction, against porn addiction. Find a way to position yourself in the fight. You know, people that are addicted to things, position yourself right in front of them and the thing. Don't let them get to it anymore. Talk to them. Make them say, you're not a part of my life anymore. Go ahead, make them do it. You got to save them from something. You don't just sit aside and go, oh, that's, you know, I really wish they would change. That's not warfare. Wage war against every spirit of darkness. What if Jesus just stood on the sidelines and said, man, I wish everybody on the earth would change. That's not what he did. He went to the cross. And there are spirits of darkness all around us. There are. Wage war against them. Wage war. In prayer, do spiritual warfare against the enemy. Do it. Pray against him. Ask God to defeat him in every single way. Ask God to allow the stronghold of the enemy to lose its grasp on your friends and on your family and on your city and on your church. Everyone, pray it. As Jesus opened his mouth, a sword conquered, a sword of truth. You also need to open your mouth and conquer with the truth of God's word. Is the God's word inside of you? If it's inside of you, what's your mouth look like? Is it open? Speak the truth. Find an opportunity to speak God's truth and do it in love. There is a war ongoing for your mind. The devil's after your mind. He's after your heart. He's after your soul. He's after your spirit. Don't stand on the sidelines. Don't just lounge on a cruise ship. You are a part of a war ship. Enter into this war and start fighting. And you know who you also need to fight for? Yourself. You need to learn how to love yourself, because that is one of the number one ways the enemy attacks you. He has you start to rip yourself down. And now he has enlisted you on his side, attacking your own self. And you look in the mirror and say, what is wrong with you? You are so stupid. Do you understand that you are on the wrong team when you do that. The Lord of glory would never say such a thing about you. Don't you dare say that about yourself. Enter into a war and fight for your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Fight for it. Fight for it and learn to love yourself. It drives me crazy when people don't know how to love themselves. Don't just be touched emotionally by the issues around us, like the race issue in our country. No, wage war in those areas. Fight in love and conquer in their areas. Wherever there is disruption, wherever there is a spirit behind it, there is an enemy behind it. There is. Find that enemy and kick his tail out of here. Do it. Wage war. Get serious about it. Oh, I am serious. Are you praying? Oh, well, you know, I haven't done that, but I go to church. I'm so glad you come to church. But that isn't exactly waging war. This altar. Wars are waged here. Prayer. Wars are waged there. Opening up your Bible. I want to tell you, every time you open up your Bible, you want a victory. Every time. My gosh, I got to hurry. Stop letting the devil be comfortable around you.
All right.
Become a threat. If the enemy isn't fighting you, then you're on his side. Straight up.
Right.
You ought to feel like there is resistance between you and the devil. That's a good feeling. You keep it there, and you become a threat around him. Don't let him feel comfortable around you. There ought to be so much Holy Ghost inside of you that when you walk into a room, demons walk out of that room. My God, I believe it. I'm telling you that you are in places where there's unrest and there's like hatred in your job. When you walk up, there ought to be a spirit of peace, because there are about five spirits just ran out the door. That ought to be the case. That ought to be the case, because you are a threat. That you have love, you have peace, you have the Spirit of God in you, and they don't even want to tangle with you. You need it. We need that. We need that in our hearts. We need that in our homes. Come on, somebody. Make war. Somebody say, make war. And love. Say, and love. We conquer through his love. His love is strong. His love is bold. His love is powerful. You are more than a conqueror through his love. Finally, we can't conquer through his love until his love conquers us. His love conquers us. Somebody say it. Say it out loud. His love conquers us. My God. Child of God, you listen. God is the strongest.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You talk about his strength. Actually, God's strong, isn't he? Oh. But I want to tell you something. It's not his strength that brings us to him. God is the wisest. Actually, is God the smartest of all? Oh, you bet. But listen, it's not his wisdom or his intelligence that brings you to him. God has abilities like no one else, right, Jeff? Absolutely. Wealth like no one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Holiness
yes.
like no one, right?
Yes.
Has it all. Yet none of that is what brings us to him. What brings us to him? What is it? What is it that one has won us over? What was it that ended our war? You realize we have a war going on with God? It says that we are his enemies. What was it that ended our war with God and reconciled us to him, where we became his sons and daughters? What was it? Romans chapter 2 verse 4 says it real good. Listen, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness? Forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance. Do you not realize that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? What brought me to him? What brought me to him? It was his kindness. His kindness brings us to repentance. Do you realize that? The place where we surrender in this war with God is not his judgment. In the book of Revelation, there's these bowls that get poured out. They're full of his judgment. And guess what? No one repents. Guess what? They see miracles, signs, and wonders in those bowls when they get poured out. No one repents. Doesn't lead a one of them. They see the mighty, strong strength of God on display as their efforts fall flat. None of them repent. It doesn't bring us to repentance. His strength doesn't bring you to repentance. Miracles don't bring you to repentance. It's not the news of hell that brings you to repentance. I wish some pastors would listen to me, that all they preach is hellfire and brimstone and wonder why nobody's getting saved. You listen to me. Your sermon on hell is not saving anyone. It doesn't lead you to repentance. My God, I feel the Holy Spirit so strong right now. Not fear, not pride, not ego. It's not the promises of a better thing. So, you listen to me, prosperity preachers. You're preaching prosperity. You're like, you're going to have more money. And you're going to have a new car. And you're going to have, woo, you're going to have a promotion. And they're all excited about that. And no one gets saved. And they're like, why does anybody get saved? It's none of those things. It's not your dollar bills, y'all, that's leading you to repentance. It is the kindness of my God that brings me to repentance. His kindness. I want to tell you, I've been conquered by the kindness of Jesus Christ. His love for me and his kindness. Psalm 63, 2 through 3 says this. I have seen you in the sanctuary. Said, seen you in the sanctuary. Somebody say it.
I've seen you.
And beheld your power and your glory. Say, beheld your power and your glory. Sounds real good so far, right? Because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I saw this scripture differently than I've ever seen it. I've seen you in the sanctuary, but that's not why I glorify. I'm excited to see his power and his presence in the sanctuary, but that's not why my lips glorify him. I have seen the power and glory of God on display, but that's not why I'm worshiping him and giving him glory. Why do I worship and give him glory? It is because his love is better. It's because I've gotten a full look at his love, and I have compared it to everything in my life and said, his love is better than life. And when I understand that, that's when my lips begin to glorify him. You will never glorify God until you see that his love is better than life. You won't ever do it. You won't ever worship him that way. If you're having trouble worshiping, it's because you think somewhere something else is up there competing with his love. Some other relationship, some other job, some other thing. I want you to tell you that when you see his love is better than every other thing in life, you can't help but fall on your face and love him. Fall on your face and worship him and give him glory and make all that's within you bless his name. You make your lips that used to yell at people and scream people, you make it worship him because you've seen his love. God, you win. You've conquered me with your love. I remember when I was 8 years old, God, and I met you at that altar and you just loved me right into your arms. Still today, God, you win. Your love is better than all of my lifetime of living. All 40 years of my life, your love is better than everything I've ever witnessed, everything I've ever seen. And your love has conquered me. Maybe you know this chapter, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His namesake. That's the Lord. He's my shepherd, and I lack nothing. Why? Because He's my shepherd. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For You are with me. You're going through a dark valley. Do you realize that the Lord is with you today? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Some people would complain about that rod and that staff. It can be a little rough sometimes, but you know what? It comforts me. Because I know You're here, and I know Your heart for me, and I know Your purpose in the rod and the staff. My goodness. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. You don't just anoint something that doesn't matter with oil. In the Bible, when you anoint something with oil, it becomes something else. Shepherd boys, when they're anointed with oil, they become kings. Slaves anointed with oil become high priests. Jesus is anointed with oil by that woman. He becomes her Savior. He anoints my head. You started a stupid sheep in this. You started a dumb lamb in this. But He anoints your head with oil. Now your cup overflows. And this is the end result. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't even need the rod and the staff in the end. You get a rod and staff, you know, come on, lamb, get back in line. No, in the end, goodness and mercy, His love follows me everywhere. I'm in His house forever. You can't get me to leave. I'm in Your house forever. And I'm there because You loved me. You loved me. You saw more than a stupid lamb. You saw more than a sad little kid that was kind of depressed and suicidal. You saw more of me than that, Jesus. I thank You. Your love has captured my heart. You've captured my mind. You've captured my future. I want to put my life in the very palm of Your hand. Does anyone feel that way today? Would you start coming to this altar even right now? If you do, come on, let's do it. Let's do this. Has His love conquered you? When was the last time His love just filled you up with the Holy Spirit and filled your very heart? When was the last time you allowed Him to just conquer you with His love? Is that love on the inside of you right now? Are you ready to overcome through His love? Are you ready to conquer? Are you ready to join the war? Are you ready to join and do warfare? Have you been standing on the sidelines for too long? Are you ready? Are you going to be fierce for your God? Are you going to do exploits for your God? Are you going to have victory in His faith, in the faith that He's given you? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everyone in this house. Lord, let the love of Jesus fill this room right now. Lord, everyone watching, listening online, let the love of Jesus, let it flow, let it reach them right where they are. They are loved. They are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord. They are loved. You listen, you are loved. I come against every lie of the enemy. Whatever he said about you, it is a lie. You are loved by Him. He loved you even while you were a sinner. He loved you. He died for you on the cross. I come against every lie of the enemy. I rebuke the enemy right now in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord. It's because of Your love, God, that we are brought to repentance. It's because of Your love, God, You took the stripes on the cross. I thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Let's reach out to Him. Come on, let's worship Him. Come on, lift your hands to Him. right now, giving praise all over this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, church. Yes, God.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.